You're listening to Morning Edition on 91.9 FM, WUOT. I'm Victor Agreta. Navigating American culture can be difficult for Spanish-speaking immigrants. Learning the language, getting kids through school, and integrating into the fabric of a community can be daunting. That's where Centro Hispano comes in. The group provides education and social services to the Hispanic population in and around Knoxville. As part of a series called Press Forward, Centro Hispano Executive Director Claudia Caballero spoke with me. I'm here with Claudia Caballero with Centro Hispano. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So first of all, what does Centro Hispano do?
We are an educational nonprofit, and our goal is to help the Latino and immigrant community integrate into Knoxville and to be able to take advantage of the beauty of our city and become part of the city. So we do that through three different main programs. The first one is information and referral. When anyone moves from one city to another, from one place to another, they need to know where there's a doctor, where they could find a dentist, what to do in different situations with renting, educational questions, and we help referring people to different services. Our second program kind of created the third program, so I'll start there. We have adult education. When adults move to Knoxville, internationals, they need to learn the language as fast as possible. And there are many great programs with lots of flexible hours around town, but we are a very intense English course. It is 8 hours a week, 6 weeks for every level, and we usually have about 70 students per cycle. With that, we have childcare. Originally, it started out having childcare because if the kids didn't have anywhere to go, parents weren't going to come to classes. Now, the children's programs are actually the biggest focus of Centro Hispano because Knoxville is very new to having Latinos, and there are many, many challenges in the educational system with children, and we are there to help navigate those for children, but as well for the educational system, so for Knox County schools. We have two after-school sites, one at Lonsdale Elementary and one at Norwood Elementary. And those two programs help kids with homework, some cultural understanding of situations that are new to them. Many of these children, their parents can't speak English yet, so it's hard for them to help with homework. And also there is a large population that is illiterate, so when the parents can't even read and write, it's very hard for them to help the kids with their homework. So those are two of our programs on school sites. Then we have three at Centro Hispano. One of them's in the morning, and it's actually a preschool program. And it's the first time kids are ever away from their moms, but the mom is right down the hall taking an English class, and we actually help them with just basic skills, you know, sitting in different places they're assigned. And it's a great experience for them because a lot of times they'll go straight into preschool or kindergarten without ever being away from their moms, and it's a huge shock. So that program is really, really nice in the mornings, and it's run by volunteer stay-at-home parents. So they come in twice a week, and they bring in their own kids, and they take this. It's like a big, giant family. Sometimes we have like 15 children and five or six parents. And then we have two other programs on site in the evening, and we do more cultural things with the kids because by the time they get there, it's 6 o'clock at night. Most kids are at home having dinner, finishing homework, resting. Our kids are still receiving input from the environment, and so we don't want it to be their third school program necessarily, but we do have math and reading programs on the computer, so they think it's more of a game. And then we do artistic things. We have one evening we have music program, and then we've partnered with Cattywampus Puppet Council, and they've helped us make a giant dragon alebrije, which is a mythical Mexican animal. And right now we're doing something really huge. It's the first time ever. We're starting a Latino Student Success Coalition. There isn't an organization in town that is taking on the challenges of high school children particularly. And many children are falling into a big black hole after finishing high school because they don't have opportunities to continue their education because they can't afford it. You can, if you're an undocumented child, you can go to college, you can, you know, go to a trade, but it's extremely expensive. And recently the tuition opportunity bill was voted down, which was the only opportunity these kids had to go continuing their education within state tuition. So we're very concerned. Teachers are very concerned. counselors and the school system is also questioning what we can do. No one has the answers, so we decided to get people together. We want to see what we've got. A lot of teachers have resources, little bits here and there, and then we have some information, but we never have a space where we can all share it. So initially, we're going to be mapping out resources, identifying gaps that we have, for example, mentoring programs for Latino students. And moving forward, we hope in about a year to have a draft to present to Knox County Schools about the Latino student situation here in Knoxville. So that's where we're at.
Excellent. Tell me a little bit about how important it is to learn English.
It's vital. It's how you feel. It's the only way you feel like you can belong in a place. I've lived in other countries and I didn't speak German there, and I never really felt at home because no matter where I went, it was that challenge of not understanding. And a lot of the community understands and speaks more than they are willing to admit, I think. But good jobs come with learning the language. Good relationships with the school and your kids' teachers come from learning the language. It's a basic need, and the community is very, very interested in learning English. It is also a luxury sometimes because if you have a very volatile schedule, some days you work evenings, some days you work days, sometimes you work 14, 15-hour days, sometimes people can't go to English classes, but we try to make programs that will fit everyone's needs because people understand that they need to learn the language where they've moved. So we work on it. They work very hard. It was really inspiring. We have a morning program, and when I came on to the organization about 11 months ago, I've been the executive director, this group started with me, and I looked at them. I'm like, oh, it's good. I really hope they learn. And then 2 months ago, 3 months ago, we had our first presentation in English. And it was all in English. The ladies asked questions in English. They got responses. And it was such an eye-opening experience. They really learned. They really felt comfortable with that. So it happens, and it happens really quickly. So it's very inspiring.
What's the biggest challenge facing the children of the people that you help?
I think the biggest challenge is parents don't understand the school system exactly. They don't understand how it works here. I'm from Honduras. I was born there. And you take your kid to school. They go for the 7 or 8 hours they're there, and then they come home. But there's not a real request from the parents to participate. The school takes care of the kid's learning, and the parent takes care of the kid after that, So learning to navigate that new system here is a challenge because I think they lose out on a lot of opportunities that they could be enriching their child's learning experience, and they're not sure how to tackle that. So we work on that as well.
There may be some misconceptions about why people move here. What's experience shown you?
Oh, man, I can't tell these stories live. It's really incredible. We have girls that were married at 13 and ran away from home because of abuse and drugs, and they come here and they ask for their kids, so they have them sent to them, and then their kids are brought up unaccompanied with these terrible stories because it's a desperate situation. And it's not everyone. I understand, and we understand that, and I understand that it's not every single person has a drastic story, but the situation in the countries in Latin America is truly incredible right now, and the insecurity and the lack of jobs of any sort. And I always pose it as, what if it were you? What would each person listening do if their children were in danger of being killed, or they didn't have enough food to feed their families, or they couldn't pay for a decent place to live? What would you do for your family? How far would you willing to go to break certain norms and rules to save those you love? So the stories are from everywhere. We have a lot of people who are refugees from South American countries that have had dictatorships, and people with engineering degrees, architecture degrees. It's a whole spectrum. It really is. And it's hard to, it's for the Latino community, you can't just put them all in one box. It's extremely diverse from one country to another. So it's also celebrating those differences that we find that the culture that we live in now is richer as well. We get different foods and different music, and it's very inspiring. There's so much there.
And you touched on something there. I want to follow up on that, which is, how do we teach others empathy for the situation these folks find themselves in?
You know, it's really hard if you've never gone through it yourself, honestly. And I understand it a little bit, but I can't say I can't go as far as to say I understand many of the people's stories that we hear. But I remember as a child, like, or a teenager in my hometown, where my father would say, you know, you need to be always on the safe side of the sidewalk. You need to make sure you're not going down this part of town, because if some man follows you and wants to hurt you, there's nothing I can do about it. There's no safety system for you. So I remember that feeling of insecurity, and I've lived in the States now for many years, and I just, unless I go back, I remember what it was like to live in constant fear. I think helping people hear stories and become friends with people they don't usually become friends with, or sharing with someone you wouldn't usually share with, that really helps create empathy, because you share your story, they share their story, and you find a lot of common ground. Values, family stories can be very similar. You know, I came from a 10 sibling family here in East Tennessee, and that may have happened somewhere in South America as well. Or, you know, my family was extremely religious, and that was what kept us together. And that's the same story in both places. Or our evening meal or our Sunday dinner was, you know, the thing that kept us, is a thing I remember from my childhood. And there are so many things. It's hard to hate someone whom you've heard the story from. And I think that is, in my opinion, one of the only ways you can change or introduce something new to someone's, you know, dictionary of concepts, I suppose.
Making that connection
and understanding that it's just another person, it's just another family that has aspirations and wants the best for their kids and wants to live well in the community as well.
How can people in East Tennessee help?
There are a lot of different ways. There are a lot of really great organizations in the community that can help, you know, bridge that. Churches are doing a lot about, like, community dinners and sharing stories. At Centro Hispano, people can always stop by. We have so many different volunteering opportunities with children, teaching English. It's having the opportunity, and you don't even have to go to an organization. You're at the supermarket and you're standing next to someone and you can just smile. And that makes someone feel so well. Or, you know, just saying hello to someone, acknowledging that they exist, means a lot. So, and I know it's scary sometimes. You can't speak the language. It's not that you're rude. It's just like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. And a smile is universal. A hello is universal. A thank you. And those things are very small but can really bridge differences and can really help people feel welcome.
Where can people find out more about Centro Hispano?
So they can find out more about Centro Hispano at centrohispano.org. And you can always stop by our offices. We're in the John Tarleton Park on Sutherland Avenue. And Facebook, we have a Facebook page as well. So, and we do have a really big event coming up that we always are encouraging people to volunteer and support, and it's the Latino Awards. And it's, first of all, we honor people from the community that have done a really great job bridging differences and making it one big community, but also it's a celebration of food and music, and it's a really beautiful event. It's August 26th at the Mill and Mine, and tickets are also online at our website.
Claudia Calbiero, Centro Hispano, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Press Forward is a project of the Knoxville Mercury in association with local media outlets, including WUOT. I'm Victor Agreta.